WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You made it. That's right. It is Friday, March 10th, 2017, and you are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Boy, oh boy, do we have a ton to get to close out the week here on WKAR AM 870. Our sports talk plate is surely full throughout this hour. I'm going to try to touch on a numerous amount of topics, which include the Big Ten tourney, of course, taking place out in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center, home of the Washington Wizards. As the quarterfinals are underway, the Michigan Wolverines taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. Pretty entertaining game thus far as that one sits at the half. And the Wolverines have a one-point lead. How about that? 38-37. We'll chat about that. We will also recap what took place yesterday for the Michigan State men's basketball team getting a much-needed victory over the Penn State Nittany Lions. Yeah. A team that actually beat Michigan State during the regular season at the Palestra out in Philadelphia. Michigan State losers of two straight. Many people believing that Michigan State needed to have a solid showing in this year's Big Ten tourney to solidify a spot in this year's NCAA Big Dance. And I think you can hear a collective sigh of relief from Spartan fans everywhere when, of course, addressing that win over the Nittany Lions. Because Michigan State, in my opinion, I believe they now are in the tourney. So we'll talk about what took place yesterday afternoon for Tom Izzo and company. And, of course, we will preview a matchup against Maryland in the Spartans later on today, actually after Michigan and Purdue are finished with that game. We'll recap day one of NFL free agency action. We'll tell you what exactly the Detroit Lions are trying to do. And also, we will get to the drama that is Mr. Kirk Cousins out in Washington with the Redskins. Of course, Kirk, former Michigan State quarterback, great, who is slated to make a lot of money this upcoming year. But, yeah, there's some drama taking place. I'll get to that later on. And we will have a live report from our very own Connor Clark, current sports production assistant. Connor also is a Michigan State men's basketball beat writer for the state news. Connor will join us live out in Washington to help us preview Michigan State and Maryland later on this afternoon. And on the back end of the show, we'll talk Pistons and Cavs, a big win for the red, white, and royal blue. And hey, we'll reflect on the week that has been with a segment we call Reflection Friday. That and more. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where we, of course, are live streaming the show. And you can even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Friday, March 10th. And we start with the Big Ten men's basketball tourney. Both Michigan State and Michigan balled out in the Big Ten tournament. Out in D.C. at the Verizon Center, the 8-seed Wolverines, despite the travel adversity, were able to top 9-seed Illinois 75-55, moving on to play top-seed Purdue. That game tipped off at noon, and as I mentioned, Michigan right now has a one-point lead over the Purdue Boilermakers with now 7:23 left to go in that game. So it's a back-and-forth battle. We'll continue to update you on that matchup throughout the hour. 5-seed Michigan State will take on 4-seed Minnesota.
After the conclusion of the Boilermakers and Wolverines, the Spartans swept the Golden Gophers during the regular season. Also, get this, a cool nugget for you all. In the 20-year history of the Big Ten tournament, Michigan State has never been absent from the quarterfinals. How about that? And heck, MSU has never even played on the first day of tournament history. How about that? Talk about consistency, right? Again, we'll preview Michigan State and Maryland later on this hour, and also we'll keep you updated on the Wolverines and Boilermakers. Moving on, looking to bounce back from a loss to number 9 Clemson earlier this week, the Michigan State baseball team will play South Carolina on the road in a 3-game set starting tonight at 7 p.m. That will be followed by a 4 p.m. matchup on Saturday before wrapping up on Sunday at 1:30. Now, MSU is currently 9-2 overall, including a 3-1 record in 7 games in 10 days after sweeping the first pitch invitational. Now, Michigan State is number 2 in the most recent NCAA RPI rankings, while also just outside the main top 25 polls, ranking 4th among others, receiving votes in the USA Today Coaches Poll, as well as number 20 in the Hero Sports College Division I College Baseball Rankings. For the second day in a row, Michigan State softball used multiple home runs to fuel its offense and posted a 5-2 victory over Georgia State in Decatur, Georgia on Thursday. Both Ebony Eccles and Mackenzie Long hit shots over the wall, while Christina Zalewski earned her first victory of the year with a 4-inning effort in the circle, surrendering just 2 base hits. The Spartans will play a 5-game tourney at Kennesaw State beginning this afternoon. The Spartans take on ETSU at 3 p.m. and will host Kennesaw at 5:30. MSU hockey, 7-22-3 overall, 3-13-2 in the Big Ten Conference, will close out the regular season with a 2-game series at 7:30 p.m. tonight and 8 p.m. on Saturday at Mariucci Arena against Minnesota. The Gophers are arguably the most balanced team in the conference and will be highly motivated because, get this, first place in the Big Ten is on the line, and so is a number 1 seed in one of the 4 NCAA regionals of the NCAA tournament that is also on the line. The Gophers are the 4th highest scoring team in the nation, averaging almost 4 goals per game, 3.85 to be exact. In girls high school basketball regional final action last night, here is how it panned out locally. Kalamazoo Central unfortunately ended the season of East Lansing 67-59. What a great year for East Lansing, a team, though, that does not don 1 senior. So they will be good next year, to say the least. All right, we had Rob Smith on the show earlier on in the week, actually on Monday, to talk about that district final win over DeWitt last week on Friday. A great season for the Trojans nonetheless. Pawama Westphalia moves on with a regional title with a win over Springport last night, 55-34. Williamston over Portland, the first regional title for Willie in 24 years. 52-29, the final of that one. And boys district final action will take place tonight. Exciting time in the world of high school basketball here locally. At 4 p.m. on Thursday, free agency officially opened across the National Football League. Not that there haven't been plenty of wildness already, right? The, quote, legal tampering period earlier in the week led to a number of deals being agreed to, although they couldn't officially be signed until yesterday afternoon. Here are a few moves that the Detroit Lions have already made. They have signed offensive tackle Rick Wagner, Lions agree in principle to a deal worth $9+ million per year. Also signed linebacker Paul Warillo, Lions agree to a 1-year deal with him. Defensive tackle Akeem Spence, 3-year, $10.5 million contract with the Honolulu Blue. Defensive end Cornelius Washington, 2-year, $6 million deal with the D. And cornerback DJ Hayden, a 1-year, $5.5 million deal with Detroit. The Lions release linebacker DeAndre Levy, designated June 1st release. The Detroit Pistons rebounded quite nicely after a road loss at Indiana earlier this week, topping the NBA's best team in the Eastern Conference, that being LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. 106-101 the final at the Palace of Auburn Hills last night. Andre Drummond, 20 points, 16 boards. And the Pistons scored the first 13 points of the fourth quarter. Reggie Jackson led Detroit with 21 points, including 12 in the final period. Man, oh, man, I wish Reggie played like that every game. LeBron James, a triple-double, 29 points, 13 boards, 10 assists. Detroit now leads the Bulls, Chicago, by a half game for the number 7 spot in the Eastern Conference. The Pistons will host the New York Knicks tomorrow. Detroit has split 2 games against New York so far this season. The Detroit Red Wings currently sitting at 25, 29, and 11, 8th in the Atlantic Division. And on a 4-game losing streak, the Wings will try to get out of the doghouse tonight when the Chicago Blackhawks come to the Joe for a 7:30 p.m. puck drop. The Blackhawks lost to the Anaheim Ducks yesterday, snapping a win streak for the Shy. And last but certainly not least, excited about this one, Flint native Clarissa Shields is set for a little more history as she takes on Sylvia Sunset Sabatos. 15-8, 6 KOs for Sylvia, a former world title challenger from Hungary, in a 6-round middleweight tonight at 10 p.m. at the MGM Grand downtown Detroit. That is a hot ticket. Tickets are actually sold out for that one. The men's fights will take a back seat as the women will take center stage for the first time on premium cable, with Shields and Sunset serving as the main event of the card. The 21-year-old from Flint Town made history by winning back-to-back Olympic gold medals in 2012 and 2016. More history to be made tonight. More on Shields right now.
Separates you from the average boxer?
Hard work. Hard work and belief. You know, I know that if a girl can beat me, she can't beat me in God. I know that for a fact. And I just go in there and I just tuck my chin and I let my hands go. That's it.
Really, to me, she the best. And can't nobody take that from her. Because she work hard every day. She do what she need to do every day. For the last 4 years, she trained every day to get this. Before this, it was 6 years she trained to get this. And now she got what she deserved.
She mentioned up there how there was a 4-month period where she did not see you guys.
I moved out of Flint last year to Colorado Springs, and I haven't seen my mom in 3 months, and I just seen her today. Oh.
Stuff. It was pretty tough on me, but I settled on video cam and stuff like that.
Right. What'd you guys talk about when you guys did talk when she was away?
Make sure I get here and don't miss out. Out of trouble.
Yeah, I cussed her out for not coming to see me.
But at the same time, she was training to compete in the Olympics.
I understood, but you know what I'm saying? I was mad.
But it paid off, right?
Yeah, it paid off, man.
You want to turn professionally. I know that's down the pike. You don't know if you want to do it now. I know. At the same time, do you feel an obligation to grow the sport of female boxing? What's it going to take to grow the sport?
Well, it's going to take great female boxers to grow the sport. And how we're going to push the sport is, one, us being great fighters and fighting on TV, but then also bringing other women to fight also.
Of course, she's getting a lot of attention now. Do you guys feel as the family an obligation to make sure she's grounded?
What that mean?
To keep her humble, in a way.
She keep me humble. She keep me calm.
And that is how we start this Friday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome to the show, ladies and gents, boys and girls. I am your host, Al Martin. It is March 10th, 2017. Really can't believe it is already Friday. The week is flown by. Totally blown by. We've got a ton to get to on today's show. What you just heard was a story that we actually produced this past summer. Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, as she returned back home to Flint, Michigan, after a 2016 gold medal showing at the 2016 Rio de Janeiro Olympics. What a joy she is to watch between the ropes in the ring. History made this past year, becoming the first boxer, male or female, gender aside here, to win back-to-back gold medals at the Olympics. Wow. And I remember that moment vividly, sitting at that airport in Flint, Michigan, waiting for her to return, buzz in the air, media everywhere, fans, friends and family, all excited to see Clarissa. And when she came through that door and held that press conference, everyone just basically lost their respective minds. Wow. What a moment that was. And we filed a report, which you can see by simply going to WKAR.org. Got a chance to steal a bit of time, a one-on-one interview with Shields. And as you heard in that spiel, you know, I first had to ask Clarissa, what's next? I mean, after you do something that's never been done, male or female, in the sport, what's next for you? Because, again, she did that as an amateur boxer. Will you turn pro was my question. And she said, you know, I got to, at the time, she had made a decision. So she's like, I don't know. I want to grow the sport, though. You heard her quote there. She has since turned professional and made that decision because, again, what else is there to conquer at the amateur level after you've done what she has done? Her record stands as a professional boxer at 1-0, and she will now, tonight, make more history as she will look to not only improve on that flawless 1-0 record, trying to move to 2-0, but as she takes on Sylvia Sunset Zabatos, who sits at 15-8 for her career with 6 knockouts, she will do it as a headline fight on premium cable. Showtime, folks. We are talking about Showtime here. And she is going to be, this fight between two female boxers is going to be the fight that has never happened before. History. The first woman to headline a professional card on Showtime. A 6-round bout for the NABF middleweight title at the MGM Grand Detroit Event Center. And I think for me, that's also exciting because you guys know I'm born and raised on the west side of Detroit. And just to see boxing on that type of level, on premium cable, let alone Clarissa Shields being the first woman to headline a professional fight, but to have this little touch of history happen in my hometown, downtown Detroit, at the MGM Grand, that's just exciting for me. I absolutely love it. You guys know I am a boxing fan. I don't follow the sport as extensively as I once did growing up with my grandfather watching weekend fights at my grandparents' house, just because the sport has, you guys know, boxing has been littered with corruption and the heavyweight division isn't the same as it used to be. It really is. It's a sport that I root for, of course, because I would like to see boxing back on that type of a stage, but it really has taken a hit over the years. But this will be a shining light tonight. I'm looking forward to it. In the event, in a 900-seat room at the MGM. It's sold out. You can't get a ticket for it unless you try bribing someone that already has one. Sold out, though, on a card, which, of course, is featured by Shields, along with a number of Detroit boxers as well. A few Detroit boxers I want to shout out. James Gordon Smith, Ed Williams, as well as Marcus Carter. All boxers born and bred in Detroit who will be taking that stage on Showtime as well. An exciting time, though. Looking forward to watching that one tonight, folks. So I wanted to start the show by taking a look back to when Shields didn't even know that she didn't even know whether or not she would turn professional, and she did. And I think she's pushing the envelope now of where female boxing can go potentially. And as she said, it's going to take more than her. It's going to take other great boxers. It's going to take pioneers, more pioneers than Shields, in order to attract more eyeballs to the sport. But you better believe an event like tonight does wonders, wonders for help growing female boxing. And I'm rooting for it, without a doubt. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got a great show as we push along here. In just a moment, in about, I'd say about less than now 10 minutes, we will invite Connor Clark to the show, our very own current sports production assistant and also MSU men's basketball beat writer for the State News. He is live out in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center covering Michigan State's run in the Big Ten tournament. And I want to give you guys an update on what's taking place right now. This is a wildly entertaining game. Wildly entertaining game between the Michigan Wolverines and the Purdue Boilermakers as we speak. With just 12 minutes left to play, the Wolverines are clinging to a 49-48 lead over Purdue. A few of the standouts, looking at the stats here, DJ Wilson, 9-15 from the floor. He leads the Wolverines currently with 21 points. How about that? I'm seeing that Moritz Wagner has gotten into foul trouble early on in this game with three personal fouls. He only has 1 point. That's a bit shocking. Behind Wilson, though, is the stout senior guard, Derek Walton Jr., 3 of 7 from the floor. He is the second leading scorer for the Wolverines with 10 points. As far as Purdue is concerned, yeah, biggie. Caleb Biggie Swanigan leading the way for the Boilermakers, 5 of 10 from the floor for 12 points. But how about this? He's also backed by Isaac Haas with 11 points. Really no surprise. I mean, Isaac brings it. But this is even more shocking for me. How about the freshman guard, Carson Edwards in this game? Off the bench for Edwards, he has 11 points off the bench. I think that's the difference maker for the Boilermakers right now, as Matthias and Klein have not even scored in this game. Edwards has 8, and P.J. Thompson has 6. So this is a back-and-forth battle right now, and if you guys remember that, as I highlighted on yesterday's show, the Wolverines, as the regular season dwindled down, the Wolverines actually beat numero uno seed Purdue by actually double digits. 12 points in that game. So we'll keep a close eye on this game. It's now tied, I'm seeing now, 49-all with 11:30 left to play. I am sure that Connor is watching that game before he preps to do work and churn out an article for the Michigan State and Maryland game. We'll get to that. And we'll continue our Big Ten tourney talk with him in just a moment. But I also wanted to bring this bit of news to you all as well, because I find this story intriguing on so many levels. You guys know that before this season even began, I mean, it dates back to around this time last year, Michigan State, right now having its best recruiting class in the Tom Izzo era. Young pups doing their thing right now. Names like Miles Bridges, Nick Ward, Cassius Winston, Josh Langford. But before, you know, the season and that recruiting class was set in stone, Michigan State tried to go after a man by the name of Josh Jackson. Josh, pretty good player. Pretty good player, I must say. You guys know how that story panned out. Josh Jackson eventually decided to commit to the Kansas Jayhawks, take his basketball talents there. Josh Jackson is a Detroit native. But Michigan State was really in the running to try and woo Jackson to the green and white. I remember even Miles Bridges when he committed to play for the Spartans. You know, Josh and Miles are pretty close. And during the McDonald's All-Star high school game, Miles tried to get in the ear of Josh and try to say, hey, man, come to East Lansing with me. We can do something really special there. But Josh decided to take his talents to Kansas. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because I'm seeing a story here centered around Josh Jackson. You guys know that Josh was involved in an incident. I'm calling it an incident in which he allegedly kicked the car of a women's basketball player at Kansas, that being sophomore Mackenzie Calvert. Jackson allegedly kicked Calvert's car, causing up to $1,000 worth of damage outside of a Lawrence, Kansas bar on December 9th, following an altercation in which it said that Calvert threw a drink at a friend of Jackson's. Now, you guys know that story. That's not breaking news here on Current Sports. But an update on that story that is causing a ton of conversation in the college basketball world. And Josh, by the way, to serve some punishment for that incident, he was actually held out of game one of the conference tourney for Kansas. But get this, an attorney for Josh Jackson tried to pay the family of Calvert's so she wouldn't press charges stemming from a December incident, that December incident, in which he, again, allegedly damaged her car. Tim Calvert, the father of Mackenzie, told the Kansas City Star that Jackson's lawyer told the family, quote, money is no object, within reason, end quote, if they would let the altercation go. Tim Calvert told the newspaper, quote, they wanted to pay to make it all go away. Quote, but it wouldn't have gone away for my daughter. It would have been great for Josh, but not for Mackenzie. This was never about money for me. It was about how my daughter was treated, end quote. Now, Jackson is facing a misdemeanor charge of criminal property damage, and an arraignment on the charge is scheduled for after the basketball season on April 12th. And Tim Calvert said his family was not looking for felony charges against Jackson, which he could have faced if police found that he caused more than $1,000 worth of damage. But Tim Calvert went on to say that this is about accountability. They want accountability, and they don't believe that Josh Jackson was punished justly for what took place back in December. As far as Mackenzie is concerned, she said that she was held out of game prep, on December 9th and 10th for her part in the incident, but was allowed to play December 11th against Rhode Island after her father had complained about the unfair treatment. We're going to be following that story because I think that depending on how Kansas handles this situation moving forward, and of course what happens legally with Josh Jackson, I think there are a few conversations that can be had. Conversations of superstar entitlement, possibly. And also a conversation when comparing men's basketball to women's basketball and the status of certain players, depending on what happens away from the basketball court. So I just wanted to bring that to you all's attention. And later on this hour, I'm also going to be diving into this whole Washington Redskins Kirk Cousins situation, which is so intriguing on so many levels that stint even beyond Kirk Cousins. Of course, you can look at the contract extension for Jay Gruden. And also, don't know if you guys saw this, but yeah. Scott McLuhan was fired as the Redskins general manager after 2 years, after doing, in my opinion, a pretty good job. But there's a few things that are puzzling to me here as to why the Redskins decided to make a move like that. And that may have a direct correlation to the drinking problems of McLaurin's past. I'll elaborate later on in the show, but I wanted to just tease that a bit. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. It is a battle taking place out in Washington, D.C., in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament between the Michigan Wolverines and the Purdue Boilermakers. The Wolverines hanging tough. 53-52 is what my ESPN box score reads, with about 8 minutes left to go in that game. After we hit our first break right now, we will chat with our very own current sports production assistant, Connor Clark, who is covering the Big Ten Men's Basketball Tournament out in Washington, D.C. for the state news. We'll have that convo and so much more. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I'm seeing this news that is broken around 1:15 actually today. But get this. You guys know RG3, right? Robert Griffin III, who set the NFL on fire when he was drafted. And a great player for the Redskins. You can't deny that RG3 had one incredible rookie year with the Washington Redskins. But RG3 since then has had, he's been swimming upstream ever since then, folks. Scouting got better on him, and it's really been a struggle for RG3. Of course, he most recently has had a stint, a brief one, with the Cleveland Browns. And I say brief because the Browns have released him. Breaking news. Robert Griffin III will be a free agent again. Yeah. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. I have brief comments on that as well. When we talk NFL free agency, I'm going to elaborate on this whole Kirk Cousins story. I see what the Browns are doing here because, again, I kind of saw this coming with the trade between Houston and the Browns with Brock Osweiler, right? Brock will probably be the guy out in Cleveland now. No more room for RG3. And I'm curious to see who, if anyone out there, will be intrigued to pick up Mr. RG3. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As we push along, again, we're keeping you updated on a battle out in Washington, D.C. at the Verizon Center. Game one in the quarterfinals between the Michigan Wolverines and top seed Purdue Boilermakers. It's a back-and-forth affair. 57 all with 6:45 left to play. Much thanks to all of our listeners out there who are tuned in to me rather than that game right now. That's called dedication. We love you. We love you, folks, because it is a barn burner taking place out in D.C. right now. To push this convo along, we invite right now one of our own. That's right, current sports production assistant and MSU men's basketball beat writer for the state news, who is out in D.C. at the Verizon Center covering all things Spartan hoops. Mr. Connor Clark, welcome to Current Sports. Connor, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Al. How are you?
I am fantastic. And, Connor, I have to ask and have to give you a big thanks for coming on the show right now, because it is a wildly entertaining game between the Wolverines and Boilermakers. Can you kind of give us a quick update? I know you're covering the Spartans, but I know you got your eyes on that Wolverines game.
I stepped aside. I could still hear the cheering back and forth. You know, it amazed me because once I, you know, coming out to D.C., the biggest thing I was worried about is that the fans wouldn't be as engaged. And, you know, it's not as student-driven as one would be if it was in Indianapolis or Chicago, but the alumni, make no mistake, they're out here, they're cheering, and they're pretty loud. I'm pretty impressed with the whole venue.
And you know, the Wolverines beat the Purdue Boilermakers late in the regular season. I'm curious, just from an analytical standpoint, what are the Wolverines doing to make this one a tight one out in D.C.?
You know, they're really just looking at mismatches throughout the court. I mean, D.J. Wilson had a few stints because the Wolverines are having a little bit of foul trouble, and he was just having a few stints with Isaac Haas where Isaac Haas had to back up on him because, you know, if he tries to get up too far, D.J. Wilson can blow up on him. He sags, and then Wilson hits a three, and he's playing immaculate right now. Well, last time, once I stepped off of my seat, he had 21. And that's how they're kind of going, is they're attacking the basket, and they're really exploiting as many mismatches as they can, because, you know, Purdue, especially when they play MSU, it's a mismatch all over the court. So they're just trying to find subtle nuances here and there and then just knock down big shots.
And, Connor, where in the world has this freshman come from? Carson Edwards with 15 points off the bench for the Boilermakers. That's got to be pretty surprising, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's been doing it on and off throughout the year. Carson Edwards has a great ability and a great instinct to get to the basket to finish well. You know, he's not someone who will all of a sudden start lighting up threes or things like that. You don't necessarily key on to him. He just, you know, makes those smart plays. He gets his body in good positions. And he just does a great job getting to the rim and finishing off the trees.
I want to give you guys an update right now. The Boilermakers have a two-point lead, 59-57, with 5:10 left to go in that game. Again, we have Connor Clark on the line, current sports production assistant, who is a beat reporter for the Michigan State men's basketball team with the state news as well. He is a jack of all trades. Connor, I want to go back to a point you made a minute ago concerning the Big Ten tournament. Being out in Washington, D.C., I am curious because I've been looking in the stands when it comes to a few games in the beginning of the Big Ten tourney, and there have been noticeably a lot of empty seats. Now, granted, it's still during the week. Folks have jobs. We'll see if the attendance ramps up, as I imagine it will, in when it comes to the weekend and in the semifinal games and of course, in the final on Sunday. But what is the atmosphere like at the Big Ten tourney? Do you like having it in D.C., and what has the attendance been like?
You know, attendance kind of varies from team to team because some teams just happen to travel differently. Michigan's got a pretty good following out here right now. Indiana, since, you know, how big of a basketball state Indiana is, Indiana University traveled really well. Iowa traveled really well just because, you know, there's no professional sports out in Iowa, so they really got to key in on, you know, collegiate sports. So there's been bits and pieces. I've yet to see Maryland play because they'll play later tonight. I'm curious to see what that's like. But, you know, it's been pretty good. Yesterday was a little rough, especially when you're having 20-point blowout after 20-point blowout. You know, you can't really get into it as much when one team's, you know, got that big of an edge on you. But, I came in thinking it was going to be a little worse. It, you know, there's still a lot of empty seats, but the people who are filling them, you know, they're pretty loud, and there's definitely some energy to be feed off of your team. But, you know, if D.C. is nice enough, I just don't think you can be that Midwest feeling, because, you know, you're a Midwestern conference, and I just don't think you can beat a venue like the United Center or Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one, Connor, as well. And as far as Michigan State fans go, I mean, how many State fans did you see or have you seen throughout the weekend?
Well, you know, there's no cam. I'm a drive over here. I saw a couple carpools because, I mean, I took a 9-hour drive from East Lansing. And, you know, there's a decent amount. I wouldn't rank them in terms of the top of, you know, people coming over to see them. A lot of family members. But, yeah, the biggest thing is, you know, since it's so far away, there's not as many students. And I think that's kind of where you lose the energy a little bit, because that's what makes college basketball great, is the passion from the students. And alumni do a great job here. But, you know, it's just not the same when you get that. And get that extra students going out and screaming. So it's been they've done an okay job. Not as many MSU fans as other teams. Northwestern is surprisingly a good amount as they're trying to get into their first NCAA tournament. But, you know, there's still enough to where if, you know, someone makes a 3-year, Miles Bridges has a dunk, you can still hear.
For sure. And yesterday it wasn't even close, Connor. A 78-51 win for the Spartans. Again, they will move on and will play Minnesota trying to beat Minnesota for a third straight time this season, which is always tough to do, going for three straight over one team. We'll see what happens after that Wolverines and Boilermakers game. But Connor, for you, when evaluating that game over Penn State, again, Penn State, a team that actually beat Michigan State at the Palestra on the road earlier this season, were you surprised at such a lopsided outcome? And have we seen the Spartans possibly turn the corner here?
Yeah, I was surprised based on how much they won. I wasn't surprised they won. When you take it to the Palestra, and although it was, a quote-unquote neutral site game, it clearly was not a neutral game. It was a home game.
Yeah.
It's a home game for Penn State there. And, Penn State's coming off of an overtime game the day before, too, so you got fatigue playing into a factor there. And we're going to see if MSU has any fatigue today, too. But, it's the same thing with Izzo. Always now, tournament time is when they ramp it up. But I was talking to Cassius after the game. He's like, there's really nothing for us to do. We have to be energetic. It's win or go home. And I think a lot of the freshmen now really understand that concept that, look, we have to perform because once we lose, we're out of the tournament. And that's why they're coming out more energized. And we've seen throughout the season, those home games, when they're energized, they play better, they execute better, they take care of the ball. Defensively, they step it up, they rebound. And I think that's what you saw, is you just saw an energized team based off of a lot of desperation.
Connor, I love this quote coming from Michigan State assistant coach Mike Garland, which was printed in the Lansing State Journal, an article written by Graham Couch. Mike Garland said, "Today, we won on grit and intelligence. That's the big difference. The game was slowed down for our guys, and they are playing smart." For you, Connor, when evaluating what took place in that first game against Penn State as opposed to what happened yesterday, what adjustments were made? What did you see that was different in Michigan State?
Well, I think it's, for the most part, it was just maturity. When you played them then, you really were still trying to find who you were. And I was talking to Miles, and I asked him, what was the big difference? He goes, that first time, we didn't know our roles. We were still trying to figure it all out. We were still trying to see, who's going to fill in what spots. Rotation-wise, we know all year has been a question on who's going to play when and back and forth. And now they've kind of got an identity together, and they now understand as a team where they're going and how they're going to come out and play. And I think that was the big difference was, it wasn't a hit on, saying they're stupid intelligence-wise. It was just a hit on now they understand on what they know they need to do, and then they're going to go out and execute it, and they did a good job.
I say it, Connor, going into that game, that the player that I was going to be keyed in and on watching was Nick Ward. And Nick had a great game. And the key about Nick is, again, he's got to learn to stay out of early foul trouble. That was the key for me. And yesterday, he did that. Probably I've never seen Nick, probably the most intelligent game that he's played all season. He only had two personal fouls. He was able to play the majority of that first half, got off to a great start, 5 of 8 from the floor, 15 points. Just evaluating Nick's game, can Nick Ward sustain a personal foul performance like that? What adjustments did you see him make in that area?
It will make a massive difference just because you're going to have him on the court. I mean, we all know about the snub of him not getting those, that freshman team honors in the Big Ten. He showed a chip on his shoulder, and I was actually thinking the same thing. If he was going to come out, he'll be energized, he'll score some points, but he'll foul because of it. And yeah, he did a good job of resisting off of it. So, they need him on the court because although, Kenny comes in and he gives them a different level, but just the threat on offense and know that you have a security blanket going into the post and that you're going to get a good look and a chance at 2 points when you're struggling, that's just a huge safety blanket that a young team like this needs in order to go forward because they're going to, Minnesota today is great defensively. They're going to have some stretches. They're going to need a basket. They're going to need somebody to go to for it. And we've seen in the past is what they do is, they get a screen over for him and they post him up on the block and they're throwing it into Nick Ward because they know one-on-one, his back to the basket's going to
open up. Yeah, and I just don't know, Connor, how in the world the Big Ten left him off that all-freshman team. I really don't know how something like that happens. That is a complete crime. And, yeah, Nick has said, and he's been he has not bitten his tongue when addressing that. As you mentioned, Nick Ward is using that as clear motivation. Talking with Coach Izzo after, Connor, what takeaways did he have from that game? What was his demeanor? He had to be now again, Tom Izzo is not a guy who's going to look at the glass as half full. He's always looking at the small things and details. But what was his demeanor after that win yesterday?
you know, he's still always focused as per, you know, per is what I found funny actually was when different media members are asking questions and they pull out Miles and Josh Langford next to ask some questions too, is Izzo's actually sitting next to him and he's watching them speak and he's like giving them critiques almost as they're talking, and Miles finishes up a statement and Tom actually like pats him on the back and he says, good job, like you said, a good, well thought out sentence, coaching him up on, you know, talking to the media. We talk back and forth sometimes on how, you know, he says, look, we want to be good to the media, we want to be, you know, respectful and answer questions. He was still always the coach, coaching his players on not, it wasn't, you know, what not to say, it was just making sure you had everything that's a well-thought-out answer. But yeah, you know, when tournament time comes, it's all business all the time. This is what he's known for. You know, it's what everyone, once you think of Tom Izzo, I mean, it's one of the main stakes, you know, of what you think of him is, you know, tournament time comes, every student jokes, you know, the month of March is the month of Izzo. So now is when, for him, his stress level is probably going to be twice as high just because he's focused and he's got a young team that's going to need a lot of attention.
And Connor, it's so funny you bring this up, but I believe we had this conversation after one of our radio shows in recent weeks. But it's funny you bring up that story because Tom is always big on his players being good with the media. And a quick story before we get you out of here and you give us a quick preview on this matchup against Minnesota, which is slated to start approximately around 2:30. But Izzo, I remember when Gary Harris was with the program. And, of course, you guys know the story. Gary left early for the NBA draft. But when Gary first got to Michigan State as a freshman, he was not a media darling. He was awful. He was not a big quote guy, right? So a few unnamed media members told Izzo of this. And we said, look, Gary Harris is just not great with the media. Tom, he's just a bad interview. I tell you what, Izzo, I'm sure, talked with Gary because the next year, his sophomore campaign, he was great. It was like something like he had media training in the offseason or something because Gary Harris was great to interview during his sophomore campaign. So Izzo, like you mentioned, Connor, he is big on his athletes being good with the media. And I always chuckle anytime that's brought up. All right, Connor, Michigan State, Minnesota, MSU trying to beat the Golden Gophers for a third time this season, which is always tough to do. Can MSU do it?
You know, they can, but I think out of all times, you know, it's tough to beat a team three times, especially on how much different this Minnesota team is from the past couple times that they played them. I mean, you saw how hot Minnesota was to end the year. They're really locking down on defense. Now is going to be the time where you're going to have to see somebody else step up on Michigan State's team, someone else than Nick Ward, somebody else than Miles Bridges that's really going to give them the extra effort. The first time they played them, it was Alvin Ellis. But, yeah, it's going to be a tough team. Nate Mason is balling on all levels right now. And so you're going to have Tum Tum DM up as best as possible. Tum Tum offensively yesterday did a great job. 9 assists, no turnovers. But, yeah, it's going to have to be somebody, you know, someone's going to have to knock down a three, knock down a shot. I'm excited for this game to think of how close it's going to be. And one thing you're going to have to do is just get to the line, try to hammer it and get guys in foul trouble, attack the basket, because once, you know, you're getting the shot up on Minnesota, chances are you're not getting another good look there. They're a good one-and-done team. They block shots very well, and they get the ball and they set up. You know, offensively, they still need help here or there, but look, they have a lot of good guys who can go off. So you're going to have to find ways to just kind of sneak points in here or there.
Again, Minnesota at that four spot having the double bye, so they will be well-rested for this one. All right, Connor Clark, current sports production assistant. He is also a Michigan State men's basketball beat reporter for the State News. You can read his outstanding work at statenews.com. Connor, get back to that Michigan and Purdue game. It's a fun one, 66-63 with just 33 seconds left to play. Boilermakers have the lead. Connor, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this week's current sports by briefly chatting about the Detroit Pistons, NFL free agency, and we'll reflect on the week that has been with our weekly segment on Friday entitled Reflection Friday.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin.
Man, oh man. Time flies when you're having fun. That's one of my favorite hip-hop joints there. Drew Henderson rocking our music today as our engineer, of course, Isaac Constans, is still out of town on spring break, enjoying spring break out in his hometown of New Orleans, Louisiana. Of course, it's been spring break for the students here on campus. And a big shout-out to Drew Hill, Brad Walker, as well as Drew Henderson for doing a great job all week of pinch hitting for Isaac. They've been fantastic. All right, folks. Well, less than 10 minutes left. Again, we're giving you an update on this insane Michigan Wolverines and Purdue Boilermakers game. Just 22 seconds left to play. Purdue with a 2-point lead. DJ Wilson doing work all day, 11 of 18 from the floor, 26 points. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman with 10 points. Derek Walton Jr. also throwing in 10. He's got 4 assists to go along with that, as well as 2 steals. Solid game for him per usual. And then for Purdue, led by Caleb Biggie Swanigan. Well, actually, Caleb is the second leading scorer for the team with 12 points. And you have Isaac Haas as well as Carson Edwards with 17. So, 2-point game, and I'm watching this as it happens. I don't have the video live stream of it, so I can't tell you, I can't give you play-by-play while we're here on the air as to what's happening in time. But I'm seeing the score again, 66 to 64. Wolverines down with 18 seconds. Well, now it just refreshed with 5 seconds left to play. I have no idea who has the ball. And right now, our Facebook live stream is completely blowing up because we have Ben Grimes, Chris Jennings, Alex McChriston is also weighing in. You guys are giving me updates on the game as it takes place right now. Much love and much thanks to you all. Also, current sports PA Romero Hardy. We've got a lot of action happening at facebook.com/currentsports where we live stream the show daily. So, okay. Yeah, 5 seconds. 2-point game. Purdue in the lead. I know many Spartan fans got to be having a smirk right now. But again, 5 seconds is still a lot of time in basketball. All right. All right. As we turn along here, I briefly want to comment on the Washington Redskins. Just want to pass this news along to you. Kirk Cousins, former Michigan State quarterback, great. He has signed his franchise tender this morning. His agent confirmed that news, and if you don't know what that means, well, that means that Cousins can now be traded. How about that? Yeah, a source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Washington has shown no inclination of moving him to this point. Now that Cousins is signed, the Redskins can review their options. Cousins has gone on the record saying that, hey, I may want to play somewhere else here. I know that San Francisco has been on his lips. Coming off a solid season, threw for a career high, 4,917 yards, 25 TDs, 12 INTs. And Cousins received a tag, non-exclusive tag, last year at a cost of $19.953 million. The first time in history that a team has used the franchise tag not once but twice on the same quarterback. So we'll see how this thing pans out. With him signing this franchise tender, Cousins can now be shipped somewhere. So we'll see how that pans out for Cousins. But I find the Washington Redskins story to be so intriguing because there's a lot going on here. The Redskins deciding to sign an extension when it comes to head coach Jay Gruden. That was a bit puzzling to me. But even more puzzling was the firing of Scott McClellan. I didn't understand that one at all. After 2 years, thought they did a pretty good job. Stunning development to me because of how quickly he and the team reached this point. Just 2 years. The Redskins hired him in January of 2015 after winning just 7 games combined in 2 seasons. The Redskins have finished a combined 17-14-1 the past 2 years. But 2 years? I don't understand that. And it's been said that the Redskins have leaked unflattering details to the Washington Post. You know, maybe alcohol problems in McLuhan's past led to this. But if the man was performing his job and doing a good job at it, performing his job at an acceptable manner, I don't understand why let him go. And these leaks probably have some validity behind them. And if alcohol issues were a pretext for firing a man who otherwise was performing his job at an acceptable manner, this move has shame written all over it. So there's a lot of drama when discussing that as well. So Kirk Cousins is probably going to chuck the deuces somewhere. The Washington Redskins no longer have Scott McLuhan as its GM, and you still have Gruden as your coach. A lot of drama out in Washington. I tell you, it just never stops. Never stops. Well, we just have under 2 minutes left here. Quick update. Again, the Michigan Wolverines, they fall to the Purdue Boilermakers at the end of the game just
beat
by
the bullies.
Oh no. I'm seeing, oh, I just refreshed, Drew. I know, I love that race snippet, right? Actually, it's going to overtime, Drew. How crazy is this? This is crazy.
It's wild.
This is really wild. 66 all at the end of the second half. This game is going into overtime. Purdue and Michigan. That means it's going to actually push the Michigan State game to a later date. Wow. What a game. Well, I tell you what, as
later
I sign
day,
off here, what's that, Drew?
Hour. Or late, just a little bit later today, right?
Yeah, a little bit later today. So
okay, you said a later date. I just want to make sure.
Thank you for that clarification if I said that. Yeah, later on today, Michigan State was scheduled to take the hardwood at approximately 2:30. That's going to push that time now depending on how long this Michigan and Purdue game goes. Again,
that's okay 66. With me. I got a meeting at 3.
There
so,
you go, Drew.
You know,
there
that
you
works
go.
Out.
The longer it gets pushed back, the better, right? For me as well. But I'm gonna head off the air and try and catch the last of this game. A crazy, crazy game. Well, Monday's Current Sports, we, of course, are going to recap all things Big Ten tourney. Heck, maybe we're talking about a Michigan State Big Ten tourney win, right? A lot of people forget that Michigan State actually is the defending champion of this tourney, but again, an entirely different team makeup, right? We'll have all of your NFL free agency talk as well. We're going to dive more so into what the Lions have been doing at the start of free agency on Monday's show. It's going to be a loaded one. But, hey, I want to give a big thanks to all of you out there for tuning in throughout this week, all of our guests, all of our pinch-hitting engineers. We'll see you on Monday, folks. As always, take care and be easy, people.